Hi, everybody. It's October 21st, Thursday, 2021. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Free K-12 Education Talk Radio, and we welcome you to what's going to be a very unique show. We've got a company called Soapbox Labs, soapboxlabs.com, and we're going to be talking about the application of voice technology in education, and this is fascinating, and I absolutely invite you to go over to their website as well as to listen to the show. It has to do with the teaching of reading. It has to do with assessing kids, and to use a cliche, it really gives student voice in an age of student voice and makes it matter. You're going to really enjoy this show. Our guests are going to be Dr. Patricia Scanlon, who's the founder and executive chair of Soapbox Labs, and the CEO of the company, Dr. Martin Farrows. And I'll bring them on in just a second. I just want to remind everybody we're the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. That's over at ACE, ACE-ED.org, ACE-ED.org. Our magazine, our online journal, which is extremely well-read. Thank you very much. Equity and Access is over there. Every podcast we do is over there, plus a ton of other information, including a link to our new website, which is all about social-emotional learning, and that's called SEL Today. And that's seltoday.org, or there's a link over at ace-ed.org. Please go over there, check out all we do. A lot of people do that anyway, but I invite you to do it as well. And without further ado, let me bring on my guests from Soapbox Labs, Dr. Patricia Scanlon and Dr. Martin Farrows. Patricia, I'm Larry Jacobs. Good morning. Welcome to the show. And where are you calling from? Patricia, can you hear me?
Hi, sorry about that. I can hear you loud and clear. Thanks for the invite. Great to be on the show.
Let me guess. You're calling from Ireland, if I'm hearing the right accent. I'm not sure. Right. Thank you.
Yes, I appreciate that.
It's a beautiful accent. I've got to tell you, it's a beautiful accent. I live just north of Boston, so it's meaningful to me. Martin, same thing, calling from Ireland?
That's right, Larry. Good morning to you. How are you doing?
I'm just fine, thank you. And I want you both, before we go any further, to just, when we're done this show, it's a little later in the day over there. I'm in Maine, okay, in the U.S. I want you to go out and have a pint of Guinness and think of me. Will you do that? Hand pulled.
If you twist my arm, I'll do that, Larry, of course.
Thank you, Martin. I appreciate that, okay? It's wonderful to have you both here. I can't tell you how excited I am. Soapbox, I don't even know where to begin because I find it so fascinating. So I'm going to ask Dr. Scanlon, Patricia, okay, who's the founder and executive chair, to tell everybody what Soapbox Labs is, what you do, and how you figured out to do this. I know you're a voice scientist. Just go through the whole thing. Patricia, tell us. It's fascinating. Fascinating.
Thank you. Thank you. Delighted to. So basically, Soapbox, we build threat recognition that everybody's very familiar with today and voice technology like the Alexas, the Googles, and the Siris. But we build speech technology that's built specifically for children's voices. So this is our own proprietary system. We built it from the ground up. And we did that because children are really different to adults. I myself, as you said, have spent most of my career in the area of speech recognition. I have a PhD in speech recognition and AI. And wow. It was actually back in 2013 when I was observing my own daughter. She was three at the time. And watching her interact with apps that were built for the pre-literate stage of reading, when kids are just getting familiar with their letter sounds and their phonological awareness. And watching her interact with those apps. And they were fantastic, but I really noticed that what they were doing was just engaging her in a very passive way, that she just was given play a sound, give her multiple choices to tap on, and none of them were actually being able to assess her ability to recall and pronounce the sounds. So as I thought about it, and I was not an educator at this point, I'm a full techie here, right? But as a parent, I'm looking at this going, wow, speech recognition is such an important element here that can act as the helpful adult, and it could act listening to the child. It was built into the app. That was so good for teaching the kids to read, but it would be really augmented with that ability to listen to the child and hear them and hear their pronunciation and help them and correct them, prompt them and encourage them. And what I did was I looked around the field and looked what was out there, and I really was scratching my head to understand why don't we have this for kids. And then a little more digging, and as you said, I'm a research scientist originally, and diving deeper into the field, I was like, you know what? Kids are physically so different to adults. They have smaller vocal tracts, thinner, shorter vocal folds, and that really has an impact on the physical voices. You know, they're like squeakier than adults. But and we all know their language is, you know, they don't follow any language rules, especially as they grow, and they keep changing every 6 months, a year anyway. And their behaviors were so different. So it made sense then, right? So if you're going to take a system that has been built for adults, modeling adult physical voices are deeper and especially with men. And then, you know, their language is very sophisticated. It follows the language rules mostly, unless it's colloquial or dialect. And their behaviors are quite predictable, where kids just break open all those rules. And as a result, you find they don't work for our kids as well. And then when you talk about in education, you can't have that. You can't have kids with mediocre speech recognition that was actually built for a different demographic, because the bar is really high in education. We need to respect that. We need to respect the place of technology in education and make sure it's helping the children, not hurting them, or you know, just a novelty.
So let me ask you. I just want to ask you. Your daughter, okay, was using a speech recognition tool, an app, whatever the heck it was. And I have to just ask these questions because this is important, because here in America, okay, more so than in many other countries, okay, we have a lot of people who speak with different accents. And speech has to be picked up with its accent in place. These kids have to learn. I'm curious, okay, take what you've just said and apply what Soapbox Labs does to a classroom, if that's possible to do. And I think you have Soapbox Educated or Soapbox Educate on your site. Okay, talk about the role of voice technology in a typical, if I may, K-12 education, kindergarten through 12th grade. This is really fascinating.
Sure.
Go ahead, Patricia.
Sure. So what we do is we partner with third parties, so people who build apps, web services, products, any ed tech products, any digital literacy and language learning products in the classroom, and we help them. We voice enable certain aspects of the lesson, let's say, right, in the classroom. So a child could be on a Chromebook, on a laptop, on an iPad, on some kind of tablet, and they're interacting with something that is a digital reading experience. And our technology is in the background. We don't build those products that the kids see. We just partner with people who do. And our technology listens as the child reads aloud. It can give immediate feedback to the child based on how well they pronounce something, what errors they made. But importantly, it creates information for the teacher to be able to help the teacher to use this as an aid in the classroom, so that the kids that normally would need one-to-one time with each kid in the classroom, you can imagine how time-consuming that is for a teacher. Our technology used in this way could actually give the teachers frequent data points on the child's progress in the classroom.
It, to me, it's so fascinating. So, Martin, let me ask you, you're CEO, okay? We're talking to a lot of school districts now. We're talking to a lot of educators, all right? Talk to me, Martin, about what they need to know about Soapbox Labs. And how does that knowledge that Soapbox Labs exists and has this technology, How does that affect the typical teacher slash school district slash ed tech director, whatever it might be? And you guys obviously are connected to Irish education as well, probably worldwide. You can talk about that. Just put it into perspective for an educator. Martin Farrows. Dr. Farrows, by the way, CEO.
Thanks, Larry. Yeah, I mean,
you're welcome.
We often refer to voice as a new category of data in education. So that's probably the best way to frame it for you. So if you think about currently how we would assess how a child is progressing, either in a literacy or a language learning process, in order to measure their progress in terms of their expressive voice, in other words, the sounds that they're making themselves, we have to have a human sitting alongside them, listening to them, and marking down on a piece of paper or a rubric or something how they're progressing through that content or through that material. That's a really effective process, but it's also very time-consuming, and it's also very resource-intensive.
Okay? Right. And so, by the way, I have to say, time matters. People are trying to buy back time. Yeah, exactly. Go ahead.
Exactly.
Please. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's what we do. We can give some of that time back, right? So what we're doing is we can say we can automate part of that process, but we can also make that process a more regular, more formative assessment experience, right? So whereas now it might be once or twice a year as a kind of a checkpoint at certain periods in the year because that's what the resource is dictating, what we can do is we can have that working in the background so that the teacher can get a more longitudinal view of how the student is progressing through the material with the data points that are returned. The school district can see as a cohort within their district how that cohort is progressing because they can see those data points. And that longitudinal view can also be used by the EdTech company as a feedback loop to understand, well, what are the most effective products that we have and how are they working in real time in the classroom or in the home practice environment. So it's really scaling that existing kind of human manual process into a more automated process to add more value at all of those different kind of stakeholder groups.
Right. And what you talk about data points, people, it can ascertain and create the data points. Okay. What are the data points that it's actually measuring? In other words, that's the question. What are they actually measuring? Which is hard for me to understand. I get this, but I don't know the minutia of it. Yeah.
So most people's exposure to speech recognition technology is, as Trish has already pointed out, with a smart assistant or something in the home, right? And what that is doing is it's listening to what you're saying and it's generating a transcription of what you said and then basically applying some logic to that and triggering an event. So you might set a timer, for example, for 1 minute. So it's listening to you say, set a timer, it's transcribing that phrase, and then it knows based on some natural language processing and understanding in the back end what the action is that you want to trigger. With kids and with education, we're not always only interested in the transcription, right? And we talk a lot about moving beyond the transcription, right? So the transcription might be useful in some circumstances where we want to know what the child said, but in other circumstances we want to know, did the child say what we expected them to say? How well did they say what we expected them to say? How confident were they about how they read that particular passage or that sentence? Right, so we're layering on top of the technology this logic that allows us to understand what we, in inverted commas, might call progress from a child's perspective in an educational world of literacy and language learning. So those are the kind of data points that we can return. So we can return things like with a fluency application, how many words did the child read in a minute? How many insertions did they make? How many substitutions did they make? How many deletions did they make? And we can calculate from that a metric around words correct per minute or something like that. So there's lots of data points that you can generate beyond a simple transcription of what the child said, which is not always that valuable in an educational context.
And who generates, in your typical system, who generates the data points? And Patricia mentioned Chromebooks, okay? Would it be Chromebooks who generates the data points, or does the school district and teacher, can they generate the data points once this soapbox is installed in the system?
Yeah, sure. So the simple process is the child is sitting in front of a Chromebook, is interacting with some content that's provided by an EdTech provider, let's say, because it's one of our partners, say Amplify. So Amplify is providing a product that the child is interacting with. The child speaks with their voice. The Chromebook captures that audio through the microphone. That audio is sent to our system. It's processed almost in real time. And then we return a whole host of information back to the application that the child is interacting with. Amplify then decides, based on their relationship with the school district, the teacher, and so on, which of those bits of information to surface to the student. So they might give the student immediate feedback, which might just be a green light to say you did well and you progressed through that passage. They also then give a whole bunch of information back to the teacher through a dashboard. So the teacher has a dashboard that's populated with a reading record of the student, and then they may aggregate that data up and provide that to the school district in terms of a cohort of students that are working through that material. So it's a very simple process that happens in the back end, but it contains a whole host and wealth of information.
It's incredible. So basically what we're saying, that is, I'm just going to get this down to the nitty-gritty here, bear with me.
Yeah.
What you do, which is incredible technology, please understand that, becomes basically, for the average teacher, a selling point of a company whose technology they are purchasing. Okay, and they need to know, help me out here, about SOAP. They can actually ask, do you have the right voice technology programming?
Exactly.
I've heard of Soapbox Labs within your system. All right, and that's actually the way the teacher would interact, or the ed tech buyer, however you want to say that. Am I correct?
100%. They won't interact with us directly. We're the enabling technology in the back end, but they should be asking their providers, do you have voice technology in your product? And if so, do you have the best voice technology out there, which is from Soapbox Labs? Those are the two questions they should be asking.
That is an unbiased opinion, everybody, but I tend to agree with it. Okay? That's excellent. This is absolutely fascinating. Can you say what companies, and I don't know whether you want to, but I'll ask, that you do work with at the school, the educators might know, or maybe it's on your website. I just want to throw that out there.
You can see some.
But you mentioned
on
Amplify; they're
great, I mean, you can see Amplify on there. There are some others that are coming very soon that I'm under non-disclosure agreements to. I can't talk about them yet because you know how competitive that market is.
Oh, I do.
But keep an eye on our website. You can see the logos on there.
That's important, okay? Soapbox Labs, everybody. Soapboxlabs.com. And now I want to go back to Dr. Scanlon, Patricia, okay? Voice technology, okay? And you know that this works in teaching kids reading. So I want you to talk about that. But I also want you to talk about, on your website, the pictures I saw that you're using are of younger kids, all right? And public schools, as you guys well know, go through K-12. And a student may come in eighth grade, all right, and have, be from another country, all right, and not, you know, have accent problems, et cetera, et cetera. Two things, okay? How does the voice of technology work in teaching reading? And B, as you're using voice technology, does it help kids who need to do English as a second language or whatever the case may be? Just put it into action in a typical classroom. Patricia.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So our voice technology is used in lots of different verticals. So in a classroom, we see it's used, as you said, for reading practice, reading assessment, screening for reading difficulties such as dyslexia, speech therapy, as well as English language learning or English as a second language. Absolutely. And it's what we do is the interesting point of view that we have in this industry is that we work across and we partner with people in all those different verticals. So they're all in the ed tech space, but they're all addressing different aspects, vocabulary building, comprehension, you know, whether it's fun practice, just, you know, that light kind of edutainment, or whether it's in classroom or whether it's homework. And obviously now remote learning has been such a burden on parents as well. That's so hard. So really a lot of our clients are looking at, well, how can we because a lot of the EdTech products were designed to work in the classroom with teachers present, and then a lot of people are now looking at how do you redesign them to also work at home and have that flexibility, whether it's due to a pandemic or whether remote learning is through homework, right? So homework is why you'd like that continuity between the classroom and the home. So lots of different application areas. And when it comes to English as a second language, our system can cope and has been built. So the way I kind of looked at it was, you know, when we were looking at this in the very beginning, we decided, well, if we're going to have a school, let's say in the middle of New York City or somewhere out west, or that you're not just going to get local accents in that classroom. You're going to get accents from all over the world, and you have to be able to deal with it. So when we were looking at this back in 2013, we were starting, well, one, we wanted to work for all accents and dialects in particular, especially across the U.S., and also we needed to be able to work in real-world noise environments, that we're not just relying on this working in a quiet room with headset mics that doesn't really echo a classroom environment, right, that we want to be able to do. So we've worked with the Florida Center for Reading Research and partnered with them over the last couple of years, and they've done a good bit of research on early readers and been able to demonstrate how our technology performs as, you know, compared to human evaluators, but also in different socioeconomic demographics, in also different, let's say, between black and white students, black and Latina students, different demographics, and being able to demonstrate that there is no bias in the system. We're constantly working on this, evolving it, building out really elaborate evaluation checks and balances so that we can be sure that our system is creating the right environment in the classroom, in all classrooms for all kids, and you're not seeing you know, different performances for different demographics, because that's actually just exacerbating existing problems. And what we're trying to do is level the playing field here. You know, and that's really important to what we do. And it's something we all should be working to. There's been a lot of, you know, focus on off-the-shelf speech recognition systems that have been evaluated and demonstrating some bias in different demographics. And what we need to make sure is when they're in the classroom, that we're all sure and we're all really happy with the performance for all kids. And that's something that we've been focusing on for quite a few years now, and we'll continue to keep an eye on this, extend our systems, evaluate constantly, checks and balances to ensure that that's always the case. And there's such power in AI if it's implemented thoughtfully.
Oh, my God.
And carefully.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, you heard me say at the beginning of the show that we are the American Consortium for Equity in Education. And what you just said, you know, put Soapbox Labs right into the center of that. And that's a key, if I may, just boil down to the nitty-gritty selling factor, all right, for schools, all right? And there's another side to that. You know, you might have heard me mention this, okay? If we don't get that right with all the ed tech we use, for some kids, if it's not done right, it creates a very frustrating, annoying, aggravating experience when learning should be a joyous experience. All right? And that's especially these crazy days, is a social emotional learning piece. Okay? We've got to eliminate the agita and aggravation, okay, of what's going on out there, and keep it as kind. It's really absolutely fascinating what you guys have done. You're the first voice. What are you? You're a voice scientist. What are you? What are you actually?
I'm a speech recognition engineer, and we have lots of voice speech scientists, computational linguists. We have a whole, like, you know, machine learning engineers. We have a very large deep tech team working on this. And for us, very much the point is that, you know, a lot of us are parents as well, right? So we've seen this and we know the power. And, you know, one of the things that people really need to start asking the question is, when speech recognition is being brought into products, not just believing what's being told and that it's just a novel thing. How many false positives, how many false negatives? A false positive is when you're telling a kid they're right when they're wrong. That's not educational. A false negative is when you're telling the kid they're wrong when they're right, and that's where the frustration and the confidence is lost.
That's
the kids are frustrated. The educators are you know, have lost confidence. And very, you know, many years ago, speech technology was not up to this task. And I think people have always wanted to use speech recognition and reading and language learning. You know, this has been thought about for decades, but it's only now, and Soapbox are out in front because we've spent 8 years developing this, and we have a very large team working solely on this, but nothing else. We don't do it. We don't do adults. We don't do anything else. We just work with kids. And that's why we've been able to focus on reducing, making sure the false positive and false negative are similar to a human evaluator experience. And that's really important too, that you build this right, you can actually create an objective system, remove the subjectiveness of assessment. But, you know, building it right is key, and you don't just take any technology and put it in the classroom, especially not technology that's been designed for adults.
Boy, it's incredible. Well, Patricia, when you were a kid, did you used to say, when I grow up, I want to be a voice technology engineer?
I just want to be an inventor.
How did you get into this?
I wanted to be an inventor, so there you go.
Right? But this is incredible. You know, I'll tell you, it's something to both of you. It's something most people don't think about. You know, we have Siri play a Beach Boys song. Okay, and we just assume that's it, okay? But there's, you know, it's so amazing when you get down into the deep nitty-gritty of it, okay, and see how actually it can be used and used well and used properly, all right? And in education, that's real. I can think of other areas too, okay? But it just has to be absolutely perfect. And you guys are walking on that thing. Martin, how long has the company been marketing out there? I know you've been in business 8 years. How long has the product been out there? Martin?
The product,
I'm fascinated by it.
The first product we brought to market was about 3.5 years ago. So so not that long, actually. And then, obviously, we're
That's
a
good.
Constant kind of product development and life cycle. A constant kind of product development phase. You know, I think we're kind of business, Larry, where, you know, the product is never going to be finished, right? So there's always going to
be
something new to do with it. So, yeah, exactly. So, which is great. I'm very exciting. But you know, I think you hit the nail on the head when you talked about the fact that, you know, with adults, we tend to think about speech as a kind of a utility. You know, it's there as a utilitarian kind of factor. Whereas if you look at the world through a kid's eyes, the potential for voice and speech technology with kids, the use cases are just amazingly creative and enjoyable and exciting and innovative to work on. So that's the world that we like to live in.
It is just fascinating. I must ask this guy, I don't know, I assume the product is a piece of software or hardware or something. I'm not that good at technology. You can understand that. Bear with me, Patricia. My point is, can it be an add-on to a system? I'm just going to use what you said. You have Chromebooks and you're using the XYZ company. Okay? So you're listening to this show, and suddenly your school district says, darn, I wish the Soapbox were embedded in this. Can it be an add-on later, or that's a dumb way to ask the question, but you know what?
No,
I'm
no, it's perfect. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've had this integrated into, like, you know, you have a product that's on a web page. This can be part of that web experience that the child goes through. It can be a reading exercise. Maybe the child has asked some comprehension questions at the end to make sure they really understood it, and that's really important. Maybe it's a case of asking about having a conversation with a child about their feelings or about their ability to recognize that in others. You can actually add this into an app. You can add it into, you know, any kind of product or service for children that we see in tablets, in web pages. We're just we're kind of a widget, if you want, that gets added into this. Just a bit of software, and it's almost, if it's executed well, it's almost invisible. You know, the child, it's very natural to read out loud, respond to a question, a verbal question, and for the child to be heard is the novel part. And it's so amazing that it's novel, but it's so natural as well. So when you actually watch a child, especially young kids, and when they realize the system occurs, the delight in their faces, they're actually, and all of a sudden they start paying attention, right? Because they know they're going to ask some questions. They know the character is going to pop up and ask them what they thought of the story, and they pay more attention. And there's a joyfulness when they realize they've been listened to.
that.
And that's lovely. That's something that we want to encourage, because we believe that's where you'll get the engagement. And engagement can only lead to better education in the long term. But, you know, and it is a way of, you know, scalably and somewhat cost effectively giving that personalized experience to the child.
It's just amazing, I got to tell you. And by the way, I just want to mention as we wind down here, there's a TEDx talk that I think Patricia did. I have that linked on the website here, and there's also a white paper. I have that link. What's all that noise in the background, guys? What's that noise? Do you hear it?
Yeah, there is noise in the
background. Yes, Martin?
It may be me. I have to confess, Larry, I have a puppy at home, and he is currently trying to chase around the house, so it could be him.
You can let me just say, dogs are always welcome on Education Talk Radio. That is the truth. Okay. What
I think
the dog
he knows
say?
He's on the radio.
Yeah. What's the
His
dog's
name? Is
name?
Fudge.
Fudge.
His name
Fudge.
Is Fudge.
Is Uncle Larry demand a cookie when this is done? Demand a treat. Okay. So don't worry about it. It's okay.
He's
so
been very patient.
Your confession is A-okay, okay? It's just funny. I was doing that note. I couldn't figure out what it was. That's great. Now, I have one other question. Everybody here loves Irish accents. You both have terrific Irish accents. I, obviously, you're Irish. Okay, I just have to ask. I never asked this. So how does my accent sound to you? Is it as beautiful as yours is to me? Remember, I'm the host.
That's right. A fantastic accent. We've been listening
beautiful.
To... I have a fascination with American accents now. We've been listening to so many over the past 8 years. So I'm trying to place it. Help me out here. Where is your accent?
Like a Boston
I am originally, what you're hearing is Philadelphia.
That's Philadelphia. Okay, I was thinking because that's not the Boston accent I remember.
No,
okay,
I live north of Boston now, but I was grown up in Philadelphia. So I have what's called a broad A. My name is
okay.
Larry. Yeah. Larry. Okay.
Oh,
when I lived
okay.
in the Midwest, in Chicago, okay, they would call me Leary.
Okay.
Leary. Leary.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's the broad A in Philly.
Yes.
Yeah. Listen to this. Coffee. Coffee.
Yes. See? Yes. Yes.
That's
yes. I love that. I love that.
There you go. It's funny. You guys are terrific. I'm so glad we did this show. I just find it absolutely fascinating. It's just incredible.
Thank you.
All right. What a great technology.
Really enjoyed it.
I mean, really. Who knew, you know? And, well, it's good. So how old is your daughter now, Patricia, as we wind down here? How old? She's, what, 12?
She's turning 12 shortly, so, yeah.
There you go. Okay.
So, yeah, it's been a long journey with her, and I'm watching her grow up and watching her develop and progress in her own language. It's been fascinating and so key to it.
And next year it turns horrible, she becomes a teenager. But that's okay. We'll get over that.
Hopefully not.
Yes, that turns horrible. And how old is and Martin, how old is Fudge?
Larry, Fudge is 6 months old, so he's
he's a baby.
He has the cone of shame on his head at the moment. He had a small incident yesterday, so he's been to the vet, so he's not happy.
I won't even tell you what he cannot scratch today, but we'll just move on from that. Okay.
Exactly.
You guys are terrific. Thank you so much. I hope someday we meet, and we might at one of these conferences or something if they ever start up.
That'd be fabulous, Larry.
That would be
great.
Thank you both. You guys take care. And by the way, I'm serious. Pull that Guinness and think of me today, okay? Do that.
Will do, Larry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Guys.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Well, that was just unbelievable, fascinating. Soapbox Labs, one word. Okay, soapboxlabs.com. Check it out. It's a good website. And the TEDx talk, the white paper, everything's up on the website as you listen to the show. Well, we will archive at ace-ed.org. And while you're there, check out SEL Today. I'm Larry Jacobs. Oh, by the way, thank you, Jenna Talbot. Thank you, Jenna. All right, for helping me meet these wonderful folks. We'll archive at ace-ed.org. Everybody, I'm Larry Jacobs with an American accent. Thanks for listening.